Performance by the Almost A Quintet, live in our studio here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, coming up, we'll be hearing from sax player Jeff Coffin, best known to fans of these groups as saxophonist with the Dave Matthews Band, also formerly with Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, and also his own group called the Mutet. He's on campus this week during the North American Saxophone Alliance Conference at the University of Illinois. He'll be doing a few public performances, which you can hear about during that segment, coming up at around 4:38 or so. But first, Almost A are here. Can I say that? Almost A are?
The members of Almost A.
The members of Almost A are here. Because tomorrow they're going to be participating in an event at the Independent Media Center downtown Urbana, which also gives people the chance to appear in a locally produced feature-length film, which is entitled The Garden of Chloe. It's in pre-production. Is that the correct term?
We've already started shooting.
You have started shooting. See, I don't know these terms. That's the voice of the filmmaker, Johnny Robinson, who's also with us. Let me introduce Almost A. On violin, Dorothy Martirano, Chris Raymond on accordion, George Turner's on guitar, Armand Baudouin on bass, and Ricardo Flores on percussion. And for the purpose of today's conversation, Chris Raymond also happens to be the composer of the music for this film. And I assume, therefore, you wrote what you just played.
No, you didn't. So some of the one of the pieces, at least in the film, is going to be a tune like what we just played, similar to what we just played, which is, we'll call gypsy music. So it's music that is not written by me, but will be in the film.
And we say we'll call gypsy music because the more acceptable term to the gypsies is Roma or Romani. And there's been some pretty famous Romani musicians, including, for example, Django Reinhardt. But let's talk about the film first. Johnny Robinson is here. He's spent most of his career not in Champaign, Urbana, but is now working with a group called Dreamscape Cinema, and also started something called Champaign Movie Makers. Give us a real quick thumbnail sketch of what you've done and how you got here, and then we'll talk about the movie.
Well, I was teaching in the School of Film and Animation at Rochester Institute of Technology, and I met a woman who lives in Urbana while dancing Argentine tango. And 3 years later, I moved here in 2008. The film community here has in recent years become incredibly vibrant. There are films going on being produced all the time right now. In fact, we're fighting over one of my crew members for another film that's being produced at the same time. It's a rare and unusual thing for a film community to be as vibrant as this one is.
So you've been involved in animation previously.
Yes, I was a cartoon animation animator and a stop-motion animator. But when I saw digital video come onto the scene and make it possible for an individual like me to out of pocket make a very good quality feature-length film, that's what I was waiting for, to move over to live-action filmmaking.
So you wanted to bolt from the animation.
Yes. One frame at a time takes a long time.
Yeah, I imagine so. But particularly with the stop motion, sometime I should ask you about that, because I've always been curious how that actually works. But that's a topic for another conversation, I guess. We actually did have a conversation about a locally produced film once before on this show. And in fact, I think this fellow is involved in your production quite intimately, Mike Boddicker.
Yes, Mike is my camera guy. I was his director of photography for The House of Thaddeus, which is now available in distribution. And now he's going to be my director of photography for The Garden of Chloe.
I think the film we were talking about was Revolting.
Revolting was Mike's film before that. I actually contributed a little bit to that, and he had a largely Baroque soundtrack, and you guys were talking about that.
Is that what we talked about?
Yes.
I didn't exactly remember what we talked about, but I do remember seeing the film.
Yeah.
So the print, this film called The Garden of Chloe, and you write in your director's statement that, well, two things of interest to me, that your qualifications as a writer-director are primarily that you have lived a full and particular life, emphasis for my purposes on particular, and then that the Garden of Chloe is made from life.
Yeah, you know, when you're making a film for a few $1,000s, how can you compete with Hollywood? And the way you do it is by not making genre films. You know, films made about other films, there's a limited spectrum. And so I don't make a film to say something. I make a film to share something. And it's a good thing that Almost A is here, because they're part of kind of a community of people that I'm, in a way, depicting in this film. I have been an artist. I've traveled the world. I've done a lot of things that I think most people don't see. And a lot of my friends are tango dancers, or they're in contact improv, and there's a level of trust and understanding and safety there that that breaks down barriers and makes it possible for people to relate in ways that you can't when those defenses are up. And that's that community of people is the main character's friends. And some of them are actually playing themselves out of among the fans of Almost A.
So we have, we know we've got some Gypsy or Romani music. We know we've got some original music. You just mentioned contact improv, and I did see somewhere, probably on your website, that mm-hmm. somehow gets into the film. And then there's an emphasis on somewhat of an alternative lifestyle going mm-hmm. on. So, interesting mix. I guess you better tell us, what's the film about?
Well, the main character is a woman named Chloe, as you might guess, and she's a free-spirited bohemian type person who's developed a world for herself while living away from her family and her roots. And the movie starts with her coming back home to the community she grew up in, and the tension that occurs between her and her sister, particularly, and the rest of the community, over the difference in how they live.
And how do they live?
Well, you know, when you ask somebody what their film is about, and they have trouble telling you, it's because it's an unusual film. I don't know how to put that in a nutshell.
I don't either.
Well, her sister Jenny, played by local actress Chris Tabor, and Kelly Lynn Hogan is playing Chloe. She's a Chicago actress who's coming down for the movie. The movie is between them. They're the co-star and co-star, and. Chloe is she's a performance arts teacher. She, I'm trying not to give away some of the plot here. I'm sorry.
Maybe we should just refer people to your website.
Yeah. There's a website, the Garden of Chloe, or actually it's gardenofchloe.weebly.com. It's a Weebly site.
But if you get it, if you do gardenofchloe.com, it'll take you there.
Yeah, it'll take you there. Yeah, that's right.
I try both, mm-hmm. and both works. Where does music figure into this? This type of music?
Well, like I said, this music has a feeling of being very free spirited. Chloe's heritage is Romanian. There's a kind of a babushka mother she has named Dorina, who's Romanian, and part of what Chloe does to try to find her identity, find who she is to kind of look back at her roots, even though her mother didn't raise her with any of her traditional culture. And so that fits. Also, like I said, there's this kind of community of people that reflects this kind of way of living that are fans of this band and this music.
How did you go about the local casting?
Well, being involved in the local film community for a long time, I know a lot of people, and I would ask people. I did open auditions at the house. I did some formal casting with a casting agent in Chicago, and it's got a lot of characters in it, so it's a lot of casting. So, It's worked out.
You mentioned the two sort of lead characters. There's also three others that are mentioned prominently. A character named Martin, played by Michael David Myers. Is he local to here?
Well, actually, Michael David Myers has been replaced by another actor. He's kind of bowed out of the film. Scott West is now playing that role.
Okay.
Who is a Chicago actor as well.
Jesse, still played by?
Matt Hester.
And Dorina, still played by?
Ann Thompson.
Okay, thought I'd better ask this time. I pulled this off the website.
Yeah.
Let's hear another. Do we have some music that is in the that for sure is in the film?
Not really. We haven't decided completely on some of the music, and some of the music is yet to be written. It's not written until the film is done being made.
So then we have the sort of music that will be in the film.
Yes. Well,
there will be some traditional music certainly in the film. And then after, I mean, there's actually, the interesting thing is two of the characters, the actors are supposed to be playing instruments that they can't play, and so we'll do this kind of movie thing where you shoot close-ups of the instruments and then you try to mix it with the actors who can't play those instruments. We'll be doing that Saturday night. And so, like I said, there'll be some traditional Romani music, and there'll also be original stuff that Chris composes to fit the movie after the edit, after rough edit's done.
Okay. Something from Almost A. Thank you. Dorothy Martirano on violin, Chris Raymond on accordion, George Turner guitar, Armand Baudouin on bass, and Ricardo Flores on the percussion make up the Almost A Quintet performing live in our studio. What was the name of that tune?
Bessarabian Girl.
Bessarabian?
Bessarabian.
What is a Bessarabian girl?
It's a place. Bessarabia. I don't know. We don't know. Do you want us to make up something?
No.
Happy
to.
If
it's really interesting, I suppose that would be fine. They're going to be providing some of the music for a new film called The Garden of Chloe, which is in filming. But also, they're going to be, actually the filmmaker is inviting your participation in the film, if you would like. Almost A will be performing tomorrow night at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana, a show that starts at 7 o'clock. And maybe I better, Johnny Robinson is the director of this film, the creator of this film, also producing. Maybe I better let you tell folks how they could get involved rather than my reading off of this piece of paper.
Okay. When you're going to shoot a scene that has a big crowd of people, the problem is you need a crowd. So these people are pretty good at drawing a crowd, and they're also doing music in the film. And so we're going to combine that at the Independent Media Center. We're inviting the public to come and have an hour concert by the Almost A Quartet. However, for 30 or so minutes before that, we'll stage scenes with the actors in front of the audience and shoot parts of the movie, and then shoot shots of the audience while the performance is going on. And then after the actors leave, we'll hold on to the musicians a little bit and shoot their hands playing instruments and shoot the actors pretending to play instruments, and combine all that with the magic of movie making.
I have a question for you about this business of actors pretending to play instruments. Mm-hmm. I've seen lots of films where that happens. So we know one technique you're going to use. Are they taking lessons of any kind so that when they're seen, say, from a distance, it sort of looks like they know what they're doing?
Yes, they are taking lessons. They're not going to be good enough, but the idea about behind the lessons is so that they can at least hold the instruments correctly, and so that if a little bit of bowing or something slips into the corner of the frame, it's passable.
And it looks like their fingers are doing more than just going, nee, 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 nee. Yeah. I'm thinking of a film that was really quite wonderful. I don't know if any of you have seen it, Tous les Matins du Monde, about a fellow named Monsieur de Saint-Colombe, who was the teacher of Marin Marais. It's a beautiful film, but the main actor is an absolutely terrible faker of playing the viol.
We're trying not to emulate that.
Yeah. But it's a really beautiful film, in fact. Mm-hmm. On Live and Local today and on WILL today, programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. I'm looking at a list, Johnny, of some of your other films that you've been involved with in one way or another. You've done some documentaries. We mentioned you've done a lot of animation of different kinds. I'm looking at one here, a documentary about sign language interpreters, for example, who work with music and poetry. How does some of what you've done previously bring to bear on this film?
Well, I think seeing, in a very broad sense, seeing how people live and how differently people live. When I taught at RIT, that's a big focus for the deaf. The National Technical Institute for the Deaf is there, and there's many sign language interpreters who are there. I had deaf students. I learned some sign language. And so I took some of that experience and wanted to make that into a movie. I thought the interpreter's work was an art in its own right, and so that became a movie. And then later I became an Argentine tango dancer. I made friends with a couple of real top-notch dancers, and that became a movie called The Heart of Tango. And so I think people say that you should write about what you know, and I've never been in a war. I've never been in crime. I don't know anything about that. And so I try to make movies about what I know.
You mentioned earlier the Contact Improv, and I said that I had seen that apparently this shows up in there somehow.
Yeah. I'm sorry I froze you when you were asking me what it was about. I haven't been on the radio except once or twice in my life. I like being on the other side of everything. Basically, there's a scene where there's a couple of dance scenes in it. One is, I call it the Moonlight Dance, where Chloe is in the yard and she hears Jesse playing the violin out the window of the house, and she dances by herself in the yard, and that's going to be shot at night. And then there's another one where the group of them are having a mundane conversation in the yard, also at night, and Chloe detaches from that and starts to draw people into this way of improvised movement where you trade lead and follow back and forth and run around the yard and do trust falls off the picnic table into each other's arms and things like that. And that's, of course, a surprising and new experience for her sister, Jenny, who most of the time they talk about sports and celebrities and watch a lot of television. And this kind of thing is surprising to her.
Where have you chosen for, will folks who eventually see the film who are from Champaign-Urbana primarily? That you're doing this? Will they recognize some of the locations?
Well, we took over the Cowboy Monkey last Saturday and had the Delta Kings there and shot a scene with 25 or so extras. We also will be shooting at Sleepy Creek Vineyard, where everybody shoots, in May. A lot of the movie takes place outdoors, and we're shooting on weekends, and so a lot of it's going to happen in April and May after Easter.
And Sleepy Creek is in actually Fairmount.
Yeah.
Kind of a neat space.
Yeah.
Actually, does everybody film there? I didn't know that.
Well, Joe Taylor is quite a filmmaker himself, and he's makes hilarious slapstick humor type shorts, and has been really successful, and a lot of the creative community, especially among actors, participate there. There's a gong show going on there now and a lot of things.
Chris Raymond, as we mentioned earlier, is writing some of the music for this film. And what do you expect? I mean, you said earlier that most of it hasn't been written,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how it's going to fit until you actually see the film. So what's your conception of how that will all work?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be doing the underscore for the film. So, I mean, I'll be my conception of how it will work is to use elements of some of the music that Almost A plays, elements meaning certain harmonic and melodic language, to create an underscore that kind of weaves in and out with the traditional music that we're going to be using. And Johnny and I have talked a lot about the way the music will interact with the drama on screen, and so I have various ideas of how I'm going to make that work.
Johnny, do you expect that at least your vision at the moment is that there will be, as many American films, commercial American films, have sort of a constant underlay of music, or will it be more of the European type where there's a lot of times where it's just quiet, except for what's being acted out?
You know, there's a lot of ways to express yourself in film, and I'm a big fan of what you just mentioned, non-manipulative film, where two different people can watch the same scene and interpret it in two different ways. Like my friend Mike Boedeker and I say, it's not good guys against bad guys, it's good guys against good guys. And every character in our film, I want to be understandable, and I want people to sympathize with every character in the film, even though there is conflict.
So part of what you're suggesting is that if there's too much music, it can manipulate people into feeling about a particular scene the way the filmmaker wants you to feel about a particular scene.
Yeah, there's a subtle difference between enhancing and directing the audience. And enhancing a scene is a wonderful thing, and we have imagined a couple of scenes where we'll use some music to kind of bring you along, but certain scenes, it's better for the audience to find their own way through it.
I'm trying to remember the name of the film. Richard Dreyfuss was in it. You all probably know. He played a music teacher. It was really popular. What was it called?
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Mr. Holland's Opus, yeah. And I remember coming away feeling that it was probably a pretty big film, but I felt almost to the point of resentment where I'd been... The music had so jerked me around.
Yes, I go to all of these. Netflix has this wonderful way of micro-genreing film down to I think it's 17,000 micro-genres. And through that, I found all these wonderful European, a lot of German films that that really push the envelope of really letting the audience interpret the film the way they want to. And they're rich experiences. And you think about the film a long time after it's over. And that's what I'm hoping. That's what makes a film good for me, is that you think differently about the world after you see the film, and you run it through your head over and over again.
And I saw somewhere on your webpage where you wrote that you'd like to think that this movie will be one that could only have been made by you, or something to that effect.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's what an artist wants to do. I mean, there's a craft, which is doing something well, and then there's a creative art, which is coming up with something to show the world that that you haven't seen anyone else come up with. And I think that's the goal of artists. And people say, oh, everything's been done. Well, you know, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, people weren't flying in the air until less than 100 years ago. I mean, the world is changing. There are cultures mixing that never mixed before, and humans are going through a lot of changes, and I think there is new things, and people can do original work.
What do you expect the timeline to be for this, and when are you hoping it'll be released, and released where?
Well, we hope to finish shooting by the end of May, and we'll probably do a couple pickup shots in late summer. Most of the films I know take a year in post. Editing, color adjustment, music, scoring, all of that kind of thing. So I expect by the following summer for it to come out. And we'll hit film festivals. We'll hit look for online streaming. It'll certainly probably premiere at the Art Theater.
In Champaign. Good place to do it. And Chris, I guess that puts some pressure on you. Once he finishes that, you got a sort of a deadline.
Yeah. Well, the deadline is what creates the inspiration, I think.
For a lot of people, yeah. So, yeah. Well, I know that for a fact. The Almost A Quintet will be performing tomorrow night at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana in the it's still partly a post office building. It's mostly a not post office building, but there's a post office there. Doors will open at 7 o'clock. Filming with the actors on stage will start at 7:30 or so. And then the live concert will start somewhere around 8 o'clock. And I guess if anybody shows up having heard this or seen advertisements for it, they should expect that they're going to grant permission to be in your movie.
That's right. A couple of things I'd like to say. One is children are welcome. Bring children, because in the story, this is actually an open house at a private school, and there should be kids. Secondly, the entire story takes place in the summer, so please wear summer clothes under your coats if you're coming. And there'll be someone at the door passing out release forms for the audience to sign to be able to be in the movie.
I'm glad you chimed in on that, because I didn't know that last bit of information about summertime. The weather shouldn't be too bad tomorrow. Good thing it's not going to be on Sunday.
Last Saturday night, we shot a scene outdoors, and our star, Kelly, was freezing. We had somebody ready to envelope her with a blanket every time I said cut. It was supposed to be a warm, balmy night, but that's not what it was last Saturday.
The sort of things people probably don't appreciate about filmmaking. Mm-hmm. gardenofchloe.weebly.com is the website. Johnny Robinson is producer and director, and it's called, well, of course, called The Garden of Chloe. Let's go out with another from Almost A. Thank you. Almost A Quintet. R is violinist Dorothy Martirano, accordionist Chris Raymond, guitarist George Turner, bassist Armand Baudouin, and percussionist Ricardo Flores. Thank you all for coming back on the show. We'll be happy to have you again sometime soon. It's tomorrow night at the Independent Media Center. Doors open at 7 o'clock downtown Urbana. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Stay tuned for a conversation with saxophone player Jeff Coffin of the Dave Matthews Band on Live and Local. That's a piece called The Mad Hatter Rides Again here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. It's from a CD by Jeff Coffin, who's the sax player there, and The Mutet, a live double CD, actually, that came out just a couple years ago, I think. And Jeff Coffin's going to be playing tomorrow night at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. He's here for the biennial national conference of the North American Saxophone Alliance, which we've been covering with a couple of shows this week. And we just have him for a little bit today, but he is here with us. And he's got a really interesting background. Those of you who are fans of the Dave Matthews Band may or may not realize that he is a saxophonist in there. He also, for a long time, played with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. So fans of that group will have heard his sound as well. And then he's got this group called The Mutet. Very pleased to welcome Jeff Coffin to Live and Local today. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Mutet, wonderful name. What's it come from? It
comes from the word mutation, the idea of mutability, of change, that to me the only constant is change. And that especially with music, you know, I tell people if you've ever smelled stagnant water, it's pretty nasty. And music can get that way also if it's not changing, if we're not moving forward, you know, and trying to break into new areas and new ideas and new concepts. So the idea of the mutet is that we can play whatever music we want to play. It's not a quartet or a quintet, it's a mutet. So it can be any configuration, playing any style of music.
And I know that, I mean, I've got a list from your website on who I guess are sort of the core of the mutet, but not. I don't think all of them are on this particular recording. And in fact, one of these guys you're going to be playing with tomorrow night, Roy Future Man Wooten. I love that name.
Yeah, from the Flecktones, the percussionist drummer from the Flecktones. We've been doing a lot of duet clinics recently also, and he's been playing with the mutet the last couple of years. And he was on an earlier record of mine called Mutopia. And it's unbelievable to hear him play physical drums, because he usually plays the drumitar with the Flecktones, which
is the drumitar.
Yeah, it's a what used to be called the synthax drumitar, and the synthax was a basically a MIDI guitar. And so he took that technology and developed piezos that he would touch that were tap sensitive, and so basically it would trigger these different sounds, these different drum sounds. So he was playing drums with his hands, sort of this way, you know, like along his body. And so rolling that concept into the drum set, which is, of course, where he started, you know, is just phenomenal. I mean, he's coming out of, you know, Elvin Jones and Tony Williams and Billy Cobham and, you know, the whole lineage of incredible, incredible jazz drummers, but also funk drummers, Clyde Stubblefield and Jabbo Starks and all that. And it's just phenomenal. And then to hear him espouse some of his ideas about music and education and improvisation and creativity, it's really something else. So we have a clinic today at 4 o'clock that we're doing, and then we're playing tomorrow night again together. And so you know, we'll be on tour a little bit in May with the mutet before the Dave Matthews tour, and we'll be dropping another record in the fall that Future Man's on, and Felix Pastorius, Jaco Pastorius' son, on bass, great piano player Chris Walters, trumpet player Bill Fanning. Zakir Hussain, the great tabla master from India, is also on a couple of tracks on this upcoming record as well, and a few other special guests.
Since you mentioned your clinic at 4 o'clock, I should say, therefore, that we're actually pre-recording this, so anybody listening to the show, which
you missed it
right about now, you probably missed it, or it's happening right now. Yeah, this is, to be honest, it's about 1:15 in the afternoon as you and I are talking. The magic of radio, and I just blew it. Improvisation, of course, so much the name of the game. And I'm going to take a really quick aside here, because I was looking at some of your photography. You also are an avid photographer. And it was really interesting to me that all the photos that I was able to see, a lot of them are of jazz musicians, but an awful lot are not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's right to say that there's improv in the photography, but
sure,
there's action in what's going on there. Mm-hmm. You can sort of see what these people are about, or at least imagine what these people are about.
Well, that's the idea behind it, you know. And you brought up the right word, improvisation. You know, I looked up that word a number of years back because we use it a lot, and we sort of think, oh, if I'm a jazz musician, the word improvisation belongs to that genre of music. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't have anything to do with music. If you go back and you look up the root of it, it's a Latin root of improvisio, which translated means unexpected or surprise. So the spirit of that word is within music, within all genres of music, in my opinion. It's within having a conversation, walking down the street. I mean, you can improvise anywhere, basketball, you know, football, baseball, whatever. So the idea behind, you know, where you're saying that the word improvisation comes to mind with the photography, that's right, because I'm sort of looking for that surprise also. A lot of times I'll see something and actually see the shot. Like I'll see it sort of framed, not like in a frame, but I'll see the composition of the piece, and that's what I'm going for. And a lot of times I'm going for that moment, sort of that really bare moment, especially when I'm photographing people. Well, I don't want them to know that I'm photographing them. You know, I don't want to be invasive into their space and sort of like in quantum physics, when you observe, you change the outcome. And so I don't want the outcome to be changed. I don't want them to know that I'm actually observing, you know, and it does somehow change it, of course, but I want that element of surprise. I want that sort of like you're almost looking through mirrored glass so that you can see, but they don't know that you're actually looking at them. That's kind of what I'm going for, so that you can have an experience. Like you can almost develop your own story behind it. Like, wow, I wonder, maybe it could have been this.
And of course, you can say the same thing about music, which is the context in which in this comes. I think we were going to play a tune off of your most recent CD with the Mutet, the CD called Into the Air. Mm-hmm. Low Spark. Is this the one where you're playing tenor on?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the concept behind this one, if there is one?
Well, it's influenced by a number of things, including, I would say, Arabic music and also Cuban music, strangely enough. There's sort of the first melody on it is sort of a scalar pattern, but it's just based out of something like that. It's based out of some things that I was practicing, and the melody kind of came out. And then there's a second pattern that comes out a little bit later, too. It's almost like the middle of it's almost kind of like this thrash kind of rock thing, you know, and then it goes into almost this Cuban Montuno thing. And what we do is we start playing it backwards. We start playing it from the end of the Montuno. So you'll hear space and then us playing notes of the Montuno sort of backwards in order, and then eventually it goes forward again. It's kind of a strange concept. So it's the music of the Mutet is influenced by a lot of world music, because that's what I listen to anymore. And so there'll be African influence and Indian influence, Arabic influence, Brazilian, folk, funk, jazz, New Orleans, gypsy, blues, of course. The list goes on and on. So it's sort of an amalgamation of all of those things. And, you know, I'll never be an Indian musician or an African musician, but I can have those elements in there. And so some of those sensibilities have worked their way into this music.
Jeff Coffin and the Mutet. This is called Low Spark here on FM 90.9. Thank you. sort of fate interrupting anybody's solo there, but...
It's just a trumpet. It's okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It's just a trumpet. Well, that's actually kind of what I thought. The sax finished up, and I'm talking to sax player Jeff Coffin, whose group called The Mutet was playing that music that he wrote, but in collaboration with the rest of the guys in the group, right?
Yeah, we've been collaborating for the last couple of records, which is awesome. And I always tell people the greatest gift my group has ever given to me is the gift of collaboration. And because I find that they realize the music in a way that, you know, when you add something to something, you kind of own, I mean, literally, you kind of own part of it. And so they get writing credit on it, you know, they'll maybe get a little taste, you know, royalty-wise also. And you know, they have a vested interest in it. I'm just delighted that everybody wants to write together.
That tune, by the way, was called Low Spark. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Jeff Coffin's going to be playing with the Roy Futureman Wooten tomorrow night as part of a chamber music concert, saxophone chamber music concert, at the Krannert Center in Urbana. He's here for the North American Saxophone Alliance Conference, which has been going since Wednesday, continues through Sunday. He's also going to be performing tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, part of a showcase. That'll also be at the Krannert Center. If you want the full schedule, go to nasaconference.com. That's nasaconference.com. There's tons of things happening, including competitions. Explore it, and you can find lots of opportunities. There are some of these programs are free. They're in the lobby. Some of them you can get a day pass for. So that's all on the NASA conference website.
Yeah.
We've had such a tiny period of time together, and unfortunately that's what we have.
That's what happens.
And it's, you know, I really enjoyed exploring some of your music before you got here today, and thanks for bringing these CDs in.
Pleasure.
I guess we're going to go out with one called Luike, who is actually a person.
Lionel Luike, he's a brilliant guitarist from Benin, West Africa. Plays a lot with Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter, and he has a lot of solo records out as well. And I've really loved his music for a number of years and was able to hook up with him and get him on a couple of tracks on this record. If people want to hear more of this music, too, then go to jeffcoffin.com. Of course, iTunes, CD Baby, Ear Up Records. But this tune is entitled Luike, and we were, again, fortunate enough to have him on here. And one of the things that he does also, he'll string paper in between his strings, and it'll sound like a thumb piano, like a kalimba. And so you'll hear some of that on there, too. And he vocalizes some of the things as well, some of his parts.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the show. It's been a pleasure, again, however short.
My pleasure, for sure. Thank you.
And Jeff Coffin of the Dave Matthews Band, of Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, and, of course, of The Mutet, which is who you hear here on Live and Local. Thank you. part of a tune called Luiki, featuring Lionel Luiki on electric guitar and vocals with Jeff Coffin and the Mutet. Jeff Coffin sax, Jeff Sipe drums percussion, Kofi Burbridge piano, keyboard, flute, Bill Fanning trumpet, and Felix Pastorius on electric bass. Jeff Coffin playing tomorrow night and tomorrow morning, for that matter, at the North American Saxophone Alliance Conference at the Krannert Center in Urbana. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. We are a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 68 degrees at 5 o'clock. Have a great weekend.